Throughout history, the technology of war has continually changed, but the art of war, how a commander commands, has remained more or less the same.
These are the opening credits of the 2003 television documentary series, The Great Commanders. What is supposed to give us portraits of the six greatest military geniuses the world had ever known. Yet, the first thing that strikes you from the quote, award-winning expert portrait of six men, is that the sextet of soldiering standouts are all European. Each commander is celebrated alongside his most defining victory. Alexander the Great at the Battle of Issus, Julius Caesar at the Battle of Alesia, Napoleon Bonaparte at the Battle of Austerlitz, Horatio Nelson at the Battle of Trafalgar, Ulysses S. Grant at the Battle of the Wilderness, and Georgi Zhukov at the Battle for Berlin. But upon closer inspection, we are struck with something even more striking, the gaping chasm in the timeline. Is it credible that in the staggering 18 and a half centuries between Julius Caesar and Horatio Nelson, there was no other commander of any repute that made the grade? Of course, there were a great many great commanders in this period, but they were, for the most part, non-Westerners. Whether Hannibal of Carthage, who marched his elephants from the Atlas to the Alps, or Chinggis Khan, whose Mongol hordes raped, pillaged, and plundered all the lands between Korea and Carpathia. Turning to the Islamic world specifically, there was barely a single dynasty from the first 1,000 years of Islam, from the 7th to the 17th century, except that it fielded at least one superbly successful military genius. But that is a discussion for another lesson. If a picture paints 1,000 words, then this graph graphically illustrates how a picture can also erase 1,000 years. The Christian Dark Ages, which last from the 4th to the 14th century, largely overlap with the first Muslim millennium, which was anything but dark. It was in fact the Muslim-led Age of Enlightenment, which gave rise to Western Christendom's own Age of Enlightenment.
We need to find out what impact the Dark Ages had on the modern world.
Never was a period of history so poorly named. And I suppose someone's been filling your head with the usual nonsense, eh? 1,000 wasted years. A black hole in history, am I right?
Yeah, sort of.
You see, it's always the same. You assume it was all mud, disease, death and destruction, with marauding mobs of barbarians ripping down the good of former civilizations, burning and plundering as they went. Nothing of any worth invented either, eh? Oh, no. Go on, Biofri.
Come on, it's probably not worth it. Everyone knows that the Greeks and Romans invented everything anyway.
Oh, did they now? And you're sure about that, are you?
I thought you said this was the Dark Ages. It doesn't look very dark.
That's because it's all a matter of perspective, my soon-to-be illuminated friend. Of course, there are parts of the world that weren't dark at all, but in a civilization that stretched from Spain to China, the golden rays of discovery and invention shone over everything.
What civilization?
The Muslim civilization, my young friend. Through scholars and scientists of various faiths, some of the most important discoveries known to man were made at this time. Discoveries that drew on knowledge of the ancients, but have more connections with your modern world than you could possibly ever imagine.
But although the role of Islam and Muslims in the advancement of the West, let alone the world as a whole, is clear to those who objectively study history, there are those eager to diminish it nonetheless. Enter Sam Harris. Of the militant atheists, Harris is arguably the most militant. Lauded in some circles for his unapologetic Islamophobia, Harris claims to have been recruited onto his mild rage against God by the attacks of 9/11. This was his Damascene moment, as the word terror in the subtitle of his textbook Arguing for Atheism suggests. An extreme polemic birthed by an extreme event. Although the handprint cover suggests Harris is railing against all faith in theory, in practice he has proven to be somewhat of a defender of Buddhism and an apologist for the ethnocracy that is the State of Israel. Note how Harris's book also carries a Dawkinsian endorsement, as if Dawkins' bona fide scientific credentials promote those whom he endorses to where they too feel they can speak, as if his were their field of expertise. Let's listen in to one of Harris's more infamous tropes against Islam.
I always find it telling when someone is arguing about how important Islamic civilization has been to the career of our species, that preserving the work of Aristotle always appears somewhere near the top of the list. I mean, just think about that for a second. Aristotle was great, don't get me wrong, but he's a single non-Muslim philosopher. Yes, it is true to say that a millennium ago, the Muslim world was ahead of the Christian West. But that doesn't say anything good about Islam. It's just a reminder of how terrible Christianity was. And as for the ultimate significance of Islamic civilization, yes, there were Muslims making advances in optics, I think, and one often hears this, but they weren't using these advances to build telescopes and understand the cosmos. They were using them to design religious calendars and more accurately pinpoint the direction of Mecca. Here's the basic fact that the Muslim community just has to grapple with. There are single zip codes in New York and Massachusetts that have produced more of enduring value scientifically, artistically, ethically, politically, than the entire Muslim world has produced in 1,000 years. And if you think that claim is inaccurate, or that it contains a shred of bigotry, you are lying to yourself. It is not historically inaccurate, nor is it a sign of bigotry, to observe that most of human progress arose in the West. Science is a Western breakthrough. Liberal democracy, the rule of law, equality before the law, freedom of thought and expression, a universal conception of human rights, separation of church and state. These are almost entirely Western inventions, and they are the foundations of almost everything that is good in our world.
Do tell us what you really think, Sam. Actually, there's a lot to unpack there, and even that was the abridged version. Harris singles out these allegedly
Western inventions
and claims them to be
the foundations of almost everything that is good in our world.
Our response? Firstly, this whole adversarial alignment of Islam against the West is something we have to be very, very wary of. Western Islamophobes seek to excise Islam and Muslims from their modern world, including, in the case of some ethno-nationalists, through the advocacy of violent genocide. This dangerous othering starts by positioning Islam as a thing apart from the Judeo-Christian West, and descends into demonizing from there on. The reality is that Islam has had and continues to have an inseparable and undeniable positive impact in the development of the West. Islam has always been a part of the West, and is all the more so now.
Muhammad died in 632. By then, Islam was already embarked upon its great first wave of success. Yet it was only much later, much, much longer after his death, that it became apparent that he had had more of an impact upon the making of Europe and the shaping of a future Western civilization than any other non-European except Jesus Christ himself. And that impact can still be felt today.
Secondly, we're only addressing Harris's arguments for the sake of argument and for the sake of being thorough. Not because we accept his metrics for measuring what he deems to be the foundation of everything good. Good is a value judgment, whether or not an atheist can even argue for objective morality at all, for what is good and evil, is somewhere between highly debatable and absurd. Harris's basis for deciding what is good is determined by his particular worldview as an atheist with specific ethno-political affiliations and personal and societal prejudices. These determinants may or may not overlap with what God deems to be good, which is the only objective measure that a Muslim need concern him or herself with. For example, atheists will often declare that happiness, maximizing pleasure, is their measure of what is morally good.
All I can really know, morally speaking, is that my own pleasure is good for me. I enjoy it. Pleasure is an experienced phenomenon and feels good by definition. Rights don't exist except as useful concepts to achieve the moral end of maximizing pleasure.
But the Muslim is far less concerned with what makes one temporarily happy and superficially content, As Allah says regarding striving in His cause,
كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ وَهُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
Fighting in the path of God is ordained for you, though you dislike it. And it may be that you dislike a thing which is good for you, and that you like a thing which is bad for you. Allah knows, and you do not. And that is because Muslims, unlike atheists, believe in an afterlife, which is the abode of maximized pleasure, and eternally so. And that abode is earned through striving in this life, which includes foregoing many pleasures and knowingly undertaking hardship. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Paradise is surrounded by hardships, and the fire is surrounded by temptations." Fixating on maximizing pleasure here on earth is a reckless pursuit for a believer. Even if people think they are content, they may be deceiving themselves, as true pleasure, true peace and contentment in this life is gained through yearning for what lies beyond it. Verily, in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find rest. So for the strict purposes of this lesson, in order to address Harris's list of alleged Western inventions without getting too distracted, we're going to take a moratorium on the matter of good and evil and agree for the time being with Dawkins.
I don't much care about what's good and evil, actually. I care about what's true.
Let us then fact check to see if what Harris says is true.